They may be called the next generation, but they're the church of today. Reach, disciple, and mobilize students to share the hope of the gospel. This is the Gen Send Podcast with Shane Pruitt, Paul Wooster, and Lacey Villa Sr.
What's up, friends? Welcome to another conversation on the Gen Send Podcast. We just want to say again, as always, thank you so much for engaging with this podcast. It's so cool to just see this community just continue to grow. We're having a blast with it, so we hope that you're enjoying it as well. And also, Paul, Lacey, I want to give a quick shout out because I was recently in New Mexico, speaking at an evangelism conference for pastors and leaders and next gen leaders. And a student pastor came up and his name is Dane. So shout out to youth pastor Dane from New Mexico. And he was just saying, hey, listen, I went through a dark time in ministry, just kind of a dark time personally. But the Lord has used the Gen Send podcast in the last couple of years of my life to really just revive the love that God has for me in me and a love for student ministry. And man, I just huge shout out to the Gen Send podcast. And he said this in a group of room full of leaders. And he's all like, if you're not listening, you need to listen. And he goes, man, I'm so thankful. Our ministry is healthy. And I owe a lot of that to just the things that I've learned and been encouraged by on the Gen Send podcast. So that's amazing. Shout out to Dane for giving that shout out. And just, we're so excited about the health of his student ministry. And man, he just gave a big shout out how the Gen Send podcast has helped him. So Lacey, Paul, how's it going? And what do you think about that, man? I just wanted to shout that out to Dane as he shouted us out to this massive room full of leaders. Yeah.
That's unbelievable, man. I just sometimes, you know, we do these podcasts and we kind of, it goes out into the ether or whatever. And we're like, is anyone listening? I know we get the numbers and it is growing. We actually doubled in the last year, the amount of people that we have listening in. But we also like recently we got a bunch of like robots signing up for different stuff that we're doing. So we're like, are those just robots listening or what's going on? Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, I'm getting more and more actually since we added Lacey. I think Lacey is the secret sauce.
Yeah.
I've been getting so many more like people coming up to me like, yo, the podcasts are just hitting different now. They're so much mm-hmm. like more relevant. And the topical approach, I think, has been really fun. And just kind of relaxed, fun, kind of chopping it up. And so it's been great. So yeah. Shout out
to
Lacey.
We went from decent to somewhat good with Lacey. Yeah. No, she took it to the whole nother level. Yeah. Lacey, how's it going, friend?
No, that really is so encouraging. Oh, it's good. Yeah, I'm out here in Arizona. So if you hear some background noise while I'm talking, just know it's some amazing Arizonians. Is that what you call them? Arizonians? That's what I'm going to call them. Hanging out here. But that is so encouraging because this is, podcasts are such a one-way street. You know, it's a conversation between us, but we don't know if this is actually helpful to you guys. So it's always helpful when we either get to hang out in person and hear you guys share something like that, or even just see reviews and different things like that on across all the platforms. So that's awesome. I'm excited for this conversation. I hope this season is just as helpful and this episode's just as helpful.
Absolutely. Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm so excited about the conversation we're going to have today with a friend of ours at NAM and with Gen Send, and then just a great partnership with the North American Mission Board and the Salt Company. But today we have none other than really one of the coolest people we know, Courtney Veer. I mean, and the way the Lord is using her and the Salt Company and the Salt Network, like, dare I say, is Courtney like the matriarch of college ministry now? Can we say that? Is she like the mama of college ministry? Is it safe to say that?
You cannot say that. No, definitely not. Yeah, I'm excited to jump on the call. Thanks for having me. My name is Courtney Veer. I am the director of Salt Company National. Am a wife to my husband, Riley, for 11 years. We've got two boys and one baby girl on the way coming in May. And so I've been a part of Salt Company since 2010. And I love Salt Company a ton, love college ministry, but am certainly not the matriarch of college ministry right now. But I appreciate the sentiment.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Courtney, we're so glad to have you.
And yeah, excited about our conversation today for sure.
Courtney, will you share a little bit about SALT and just like what you guys do and things like that?
Yeah, absolutely. So SALT Company is the name of the college ministry. And so we are a organization called the SALT Network. We plant autonomous churches in major university centers whose goal is to reach the community, but also reach the campus. And so our desire is that we would reach college students in the context of the local church, raise them up to follow Jesus for a lifetime, and use them as fuel to plant more churches and to reach more lost students and college students just like them. And so SALT Company is the college ministry. Our churches all have different names, but the college ministry across the board, it's called the SALT Company. Currently, we have 30 churches in our network and 31 SALT companies. The reason for that is there's a college ministry that has a church that has two college ministries in one city, just because it's that big, which is awesome. And we have two more church plants coming up in 2024 that will be launched in the fall, and then five more in 2025. So we will be expanding and growing in the next few years, which is always super exciting. And we just feel really blessed by what God's doing.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm super excited because y'all are coming to Texas, where Shane and I live, out to UNT, Denton area. So yeah, we're super pumped you guys are headed out our way. Absolutely. I'm really excited. Yeah,
one of my favorite SALT directors, Zach Cunningham. I'm sure he listens to this, so now he'll hear that I say that about him. But yeah, he's planting at the University of Denton in 2025, and we're really excited to get into Texas. But also, Zach went to college at the University of Denton, and God did incredible things in his life there. And so he's excited to get back, start a church, and reach college students there.
Amen. And I'm so excited to have Zach back in Texas. I know Zach well. And I remember when Zach was in Denton, and he invited me to come speak multiple times at a ministry that he was helping lead at the time, and he was like their age. So it'd be like, you know, 400 or 500 college students, and then Zach at 21, you know, and he was so well respected. And I mean, so fun to have him come back for sure.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, and I think that's the perfect setup for what we're talking about today. There's so many people like Zach in SALT Company, in the SALT Network, and it's these young, mature leaders who are just, they seem like rock stars, but you have them all gathered together. And I got to experience a little bit of SALT Company conference earlier this year in January. And I remember just walking around, and every person we met, every director we met, every staff member, or even just a volunteer leader, they were such mature young followers of Jesus and such strong leaders. And I remember my husband and I walked around, and we were just like, where are they getting all of these young, mature followers of Jesus? We were like, they're all here. This is amazing. And so I'm excited to talk to you about that and just how you guys have built that and the intentionality behind that. So today we're going to be diving into student leadership, student multiplication, and kind of creating that in your ministry. And I can't think of a better person to talk about that with, because every generation, we know this, they want to make a difference. They want to make an impact, and they're hungry to get involved. And so I'm excited to learn how we can empower our students to do that and to take leadership in our ministries, and even to send them out to help them be sent out while helping them also pursue that spiritual maturity. So let's just start here, Courtney. What does student discipleship look like for you guys? What are some of the key things that you guys try to hit on in the little time that you do have college students?
Yeah. So student discipleship is the most important thing that we do inside of college ministry. And so we take it really seriously. We oftentimes say that student discipleship equals student leadership. And so our plan and practice for how we care for student leaders, raise them up, train and equip them, is really intentional. We spend so many staff hours recruiting students, training our students, and sending them out. And so even just like a few weeks ago, we have a weekly director call where all the SALT Company directors get on the call, and we were talking about student leaders and how do we get them to, you know, interview and join student leadership. And one of the directors said, like, let's not forget that this is the most important thing that we do, because we really believe that the best person to reach a college student is a college student. Mm-hmm. And so while we absolutely as you know, ministry leaders want to be on the campus and we want to be sharing the gospel with college students. We want to create great events where students can come and there's outreach for evangelistic outreach opportunities. We also really want to train and equip the next generation to reach their peers, not just in college, but for a lifetime. And so we have this 4-year time zone where we've got them in like a incubator, for lack of a better term.
Yeah.
Where they are there, they're doing life, they live in the same places, they're doing the same things, they're considering, who am I going to be after this? It's such a turning point for them in their lives. And so we want to say, hey, this is the best time for us to say, let's follow Jesus, let's share the gospel with you, let's help disciple you and shape you. And so, student discipleship for us equals student leadership. And it's honestly the most valuable thing that we do, and we take it really seriously.
Love that, Courtney. And getting to be around y'all and learn from you and see, you even have kind of a leadership pipeline where students can walk through. You wanted to kind of briefly describe what that is while a student is a student. What does that look like? What are some of those key markers?
Yeah, we want to have a strategy and a plan for our students. So we don't want to get so corporate where we're just like running programs and doing all these things and we're not intentional with our students, but we want to have a plan and a prayer for each student that comes into our ministry or that we interact with. And so the goal of our pipeline is, how do we take someone who is lost, who doesn't know Jesus, or who is disconnected from a college ministry or from a church? How do we take someone like that and take them to a place of that they're a healthy disciple functioning in a local church for a lifetime? And we have plans and strategies that we do inside of that, but we also believe strongly that none of that happens unless God does the work. And so we get on our knees when we think about that pipeline. We pray for that pipeline, asking that God would just use the things that we do in order to just transform lives. And so we see the people who come through the ministry. So we see a college freshman and we want to connect with them right away. And our hope is that their freshman year, that they would be willing to jump into a small group, a group of their peers. And then how do we take a small group member, how do we take them to be a student leader where our staff and community members can intentionally disciple them? And then how do we take a student leader to be someone who's sent? Now, whether that's to a church plant overseas, or it's sent just to their community to be a healthy disciple in their community. So our goal with every student is, how do we take them from disconnected, lost, unbeliever, how do we take them to a healthy disciple for Jesus for a lifetime? And so we want to use kind of the steps along the way to ask the Lord, would you do something miraculous in these students' lives? And he's doing it. And we're just grateful to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that you guys have kind of striked a balance of natural relational evangelism and discipleship. And then you do have a few programs and a few type of things like your theology of the gospel, or I think you guys call it gospel 101 now. What do you guys call it now?
Gospel 101.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
And that is just a great like course that students can sign up for.
Yep.
And it teaches them just a lot of deep truths and goes in deep on the gospel.
Yep.
And you'll see even students saved in that course, right?
Anything
to say about that course?
Yeah, it's such a valuable piece. We try to get, you know, all of our freshmen, we want them to take that course. We also require it for student leadership. So it's a piece in it. We just want everyone to have a deep or like at least a start in the theological understanding. And so there's that book is in curriculum is written so that we cover some basic truths, biblical understanding foundations for students. And then in addition to that, we have them ask survey questions, which are basically getting people to start spiritual conversations. And every year, I mean, I'm not kidding you, so many students who are like, I'm asking people about their, you know, spiritual walk, and I'm not sure what mine is like. And I'm getting to kind of wrestle with like, I'm asking a student in my class, like, hey, I'm taking this class called Gospel 101. I need to ask you, like, what do you think happens after you die? And then the person answers, and then they write down their response. And it's like, what do you think? And it's like, well, I'm in process of thinking that. And so, yeah, you're right, Paul. Every year, students get saved just from taking that class, hearing those theological truths, and wrestling with some of the questions that get our students into spiritual conversations.
Yeah, I love that. And Courtney, I love the vision too that y'all have of like, we want to help them be disciples of Jesus for a lifetime.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes it's easy to default to go, oh man, I want them to be healthy while they're with us. But sure. You're setting them up to be healthy for a lifetime, which yeah. I think that's really the call of every, whether it's student ministry or college and young adult ministry or church, is like we're helping people follow Jesus for a lifetime. And I think especially when it comes to, for lack of a better term, next gen, I always tell next gen leaders, this is, I think we put so much pressure on ourselves where we like overthink it, right? We're like, mm-hmm. oh, we're working with young people. So we got to be innovative and creative mm-hmm. and think outside the box, or heck, just, you know, crash the box and build a new box, you know? And I'm like, no, I think we overthink it so much that we forget the basics mm-hmm. of really our job is to help them walk deeply with Jesus, have some spiritual disciplines, how to live on mission, and then how to like evangelize and disciple, meaning how to multiply themselves. Because mm-hmm. if you're teaching people how to do that, then they can do that anywhere, whether the Lord has them stay in the city you're in or sends them around the world, or if they're yep. church leaders or they're going to be marketplace missionaries. Those are things that will apply to their life for the rest of their life, mm-hmm. no matter where they're at or what God calls them to. I love that y'all have that vision.
Yeah, we feel super thankful just, you know, especially for the college ministry in the ways that the staff lead that so well, the students lead that, student leaders lead that so well, but also the church. I mean, just that it's tied so closely to that, that we're encouraging all of our students. You know, sometimes a college student will say like, hey, you want to come to church with me on Sunday? And that might feel like, ooh, I'm not quite ready for church yet. Like that, I either have her or that feels like something I'm not quite ready for spiritually. But then it's like, hey, will you come to a Thursday night gathering of college students? And we worship, we hear teaching from the yep. Bible, we commune with one another, pretty similar to church, but would you be willing to come with me to that? And they're like, oh, sure, I would probably come to that. And so we don't want college students just to stay in Salt Company. We want them to make that connection with their local church. But sometimes that yep. that just that college gathering is a great step into to that door. But then when they experience Jesus, life has changed and they're coming to church on Sunday mornings, and they're seeing spiritual mothers, fathers, grandfathers, grandmothers, the beautiful just expression of God's church for how yep. we can care well for others. We're so thankful for great pastors, elders, leaders in the church who care not only for the church, but our college ministry. And we wouldn't want to do it separate because we just really value that connection and feel like we want to get college students not just in the door for 4 years, but for 40 years.
Amen. I love that.
That's such a good word, not just for 4 years, but 40 years. And I love what you said. We want to have a plan and a prayer for every student. I think that's such a simple, you know, phrase, but it can frame our mindset and give us a framework to look at when we're looking at discipleship or just looking at our ministry, and really be such a healthy driver for discipleship and building out discipleship for our students. I know you mentioned that you have anybody who wants to be a student leader kind of go through that gospel 101 course. What are some things you look for in a student that might want to step into a leadership role? And what are those leadership roles that you guys have?
Yeah. So we have a leadership process that, again, like I said, we take leadership really seriously. And so we have, we advertise it to all students. We have an application that students will fill out that is pretty intense. And we let them know ahead of time, like, hey, this is, you're going to get into some real questions about your life, what you believe about Jesus, sin struggles, how you've seen God move in your life. And then we have an interview process where a student will sit across the table from two staff members, and we'll get to talk with them about their relationship with Jesus, things they're struggling with, how they've seen God move. And so there's a vetting process that each of our students go through, because we want to make sure that they, one, student leadership is the right, healthy next step for them. Sometimes it isn't, sometimes it is, but, and we want to help shape them and disciple them even just in those moments. Some of my greatest memories from working in Salt Company was sitting across the table from students for an hour, just hearing about the incredible things that God has done. And seeing that hour of being like, God, would you help me to shape this beloved child that you have? And so it's been that piece of it is really an awesome opportunity for us to connect with so many students. But as we're thinking about student leaders, what are we looking for? We think about it kind of in five things. So we hope that they're outward facing, that they have doctrinal alignment with us. They have a habit of repentance. They're teachable and they have personal health. And so I'll talk a little bit about those five things, but here's what I mean by outward facing, that they are willing to pursue and engage their peers and they desire to lead them. And so it's just this willingness to say, hey, I don't want to just be in this bubble by myself. I want to go out and reach my peers. And so a desire to actually engage college students. The second is that doctrinal alignment. We want to make sure that they can articulate the gospel. Do they agree with the church's statement of faith? All of our students will agree to be members of our church. So we have student membership from our churches that we take seriously, that there's a commitment not only to the college ministry, but a commitment to the church. The third is repentance. And so we want to see that students are willing to be vulnerable and confess sin. And so, and that they're willing to move from their sin. And so almost in every, you know, in every student leadership interview I've ever done, you can talk with those students about their sin. And in those moments, you can tell like, hey, I see this in your life, sister or brother. And I want to encourage you to move away from that and move towards Jesus and holiness. And so their willingness to be like, yes, even in the interview, but have shown a pattern of like, that's the way I want to live my life as well. And then the fourth thing, teachability. And so they want to be challenged, lean in. And so we tell them like, hey, you're going to be meeting, once you're a student leader, we have what we call discipleship groups where students will meet same gendered groups, 4 to 5 people. It's either led by a staff member or a community member from the church. And in those in that space, we talk about sin that's going on in our life. We challenge each other to live on mission. We're dealing with kind of like the heart issues in those groups. And so we want to make sure, like, if you're going to be a student leader, you need to be comfortable with like being challenged and encouraged to move towards. And so we just want to have them, we can kind of witness either from hearing from other people through like a reference or just in the meeting, like to say, are you willing to lean into our leadership and the leadership of your future discipleship group leader? And then finally, personal health. So do they have the physical, mental, emotional health to actually be a student leader? Would this responsibility help them rather than hurt them? Mm-hmm. And so those are the five things that we consider and we look for as we have those leadership interviews.
I love that. That's genius to kind of have a really set list of things you're looking for and vetting. And it's so good. And, you know, I think you would agree on this, is that you are also taking a risk. Like no one has arrived.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Or, you know, because if we are looking for someone that perfectly fits all those, you're not going to find very many. Anything you'd kind of say on that vein?
Yeah, I think the willing, like I said, the teachability is the biggest piece of it, that sometimes that will disqualify someone before. It's like, oh, there's just like an arrogant spirit to them, or they feel unwilling to move towards something. And so we all, you know, there's so much grace that we want to extend. We want to love our people, but we also want to challenge them. And so if we provide them with grace and challenge, we believe that's the best way we can love them and do that well. And so we certainly don't have such a high standard where it's like, you need to perfectly execute all of those things all the time. But we are hoping that they would be someone who's like, those five things, like I agree to those things and I want to be shaped by them. So.
Yeah. And I love another great thing about your model is it's providing adult volunteers or staff that will be walking alongside these kind of freshly minted student leaders. Mm-hmm. And so that helps the students not feel like, well, I've arrived. I think there's a danger sometimes in student leadership where you're like, hey, you go lead a group and good luck with that. And you're not providing them the pastoral care and oversight and encouragement and discipleship that they need.
Yep.
And so I see a lot of ministries as I'm kind of traveling around that like the juniors and seniors, yes, they know how to do ministry, but a lot of them end up not really having a vibrant personal walk with God or spiritual, mental, emotional health because they've been pouring out so much and not being poured into.
Yeah.
So I think that's really cool about the way you guys model that.
Yeah. What we ask of our students and how we want to challenge them, we want to make sure that the investment matches that. And so if we ask them too much, but we're not willing to invest in them, our students are going to burn out or they're going to be too immature for where we're asking them to lead. And so we take that balance of like, we want to make sure that this is something that we are intentionally pouring into you, discipling you in a way that helps you to be someone who's a healthy disciple of Jesus that, for a lifetime. And so we balance that challenge and ask versus also our investment that we make in them.
Great. Yeah. And I mean, Paul kind of mentioned this a little bit, but what are some of these unique challenges that you have when it comes to having students in leadership roles, and how can ministries work through or avoid some of these challenges? I know we can't entirely avoid all of them, but maybe avoid, you know, maybe some mistakes that you guys have come upon, Paul, Shane, Courtney, or even just work through some of those things.
Yeah, I got a thought on that. I think there's kind of three phases a student or a student leader might go through. One is a lack of vision and a lack of kind of understanding of God's heart for the lost, and or even just a lot of them aren't even saved. So a lack of vision of Jesus and who he is and the gospel, and then a lack of perspective and vision on, hey, I can use my life for something bigger than myself. And so but once they get that, then there's a lot of times there's a lack of discipline and diligence and just the habits, developing those habits and those kind of rhythms of life where they're starting to really gain traction in those things. But then there's a danger when someone has the vision and the diligence and they start seeing some fruit. Maybe they're leading a group or they're leading some people to Christ and they're starting to see stuff. Then they, in a lot of ministries and churches, they rise up and they start getting, hey, you can preach now, or you can lead this group and you're, you know, a future pastor or whatever. Then there's a lot of times there's a lack of humility. There's a lack of, they kind of start believing their own press that, man, I've arrived and I'm just like spiritual Joe on campus. And, you know, and so those are kind of three phases I see a student leader go through often is vision, diligence, and then like they need humility as well. So those are just kind of like some categories to kind of consider and keep an eye on as we're raising up student leaders.
Yeah, I agree with all three of those things. I think the thing we experience now more than we did, you know, 10 years ago, or, you know, even maybe less than that, is just there's a lack of just this low gospel fluency. And so students are immature. They've not grown up with some of those foundational truths that maybe would have been more common, you know, a decade ago. And so for us, we want to push into, lean into those things, and we want to, you know, raise up the next generation to follow Jesus and to raise up the next generation to follow Jesus. And so that's why we do, like I said, we do weekly discipleship groups. We meet with our leaders on a monthly basis. We kind of train them on like the, what we call the vitamins and the medicine of ministry. And so some of those are just like really, you know, when I say vitamins, I mean, just like the basic things of how you follow Jesus. Like, this is what you need every day to follow Jesus. And then when we do leader meetings that are like related to medicine, it's like, oh, here's more of like a topical thing or something we're seeing in our ministry that we want to intentionally care well for you or help you to shape that. And so why we take the gospel 101 class, that's why it's a requirement for student leadership. It's why we interview, we have an application process, because we want to see that, you know, we're aware that our students are immature. I mean, I'm probably still immature for sure. So I got a long way to go. And so we don't want to keep immaturity or low gospel fluency from keeping them off of leadership or helping them to disciple them. And so we want to help nurture that. And so it's a challenge that it, you know, Paul, like what you said earlier, if the people aren't willing to invest into the student leaders and are just saying, go, 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 run, 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 but you're not investing in them seriously. That can be quite a challenge to college ministry and how you can help students to lead well.
Yeah. And I completely agree what Paul and Courtney said. You know, whether it's student ministry or collegiate young adult ministry, when you're raising up, calling out, discipling, empowering young leaders, young people are going to do what young people do, you know, and I think we just need to be reminded of that. Are they going to mess up? Yes. Will they make a mess of something? Probably. Are they going to run late? Most likely. You know what I mean? But I think sometimes the older we get, we're always the best at like changing the narrative, you know, and like, well, when I was 19, I was always 30 minutes early. No, you probably wouldn't, you know? And so I think just reminding ourselves of what we were like when we were 15, 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. And what I found is there's a lot of 20 and 21 year olds that are way further up the road than I was when I was 20 or 21.
For sure.
So I say, be patient. Also remember, and I think sometimes, especially in the collegiate space, it can feel like a sprint because you're like, oh, we only have them for a year, 2 years, 3 years, mm-hmm. 4 years. But I love, again, what Courtney said is we're really helping them grow to follow Jesus for a lifetime. So really, even though the ministry may feel like a sprint, the walk with Jesus is a marathon. So to have that long view and to go, hey, this is a process. And so just be encouraged with that. Also, this goes a little bit to back to the things that Courtney said that they were looking for in leaders, which I loved. And one of those was teachable. And I think sometimes if there is a struggle when you're working with young leaders, and I wish I would have learned this a lot earlier in ministry. I think it was something I kind of realized over the last 5 years. Is that when you're working with leaders, there's a difference between being teachable and agreeable. Mm. And what I mean by that is I think sometimes, especially young leaders, they're agreeable, meaning you're older, they see you as kind of an authority figure. And so sometimes they're just agreeing with you, what you said, and there's no changes being made, right? When you go, hey, really need to think this, consider that, change this. And they're like, oh yeah, I see that. I agree. But then no changes are made, right? It's still the same thing week in and week out. And what you're looking for is not people that are just going to agree with you, but people who are teachable. So there's a difference between being teachable and agreeable. Because teachable is like, oh, I see that. Thank you for pointing that out. The Lord is dealing with that in my heart. I'm working towards change and sanctification and spiritual maturity. That's what teachable looks like versus agreeable. And I think for a long time in ministry, I was all like, oh, so-and-so is, they're so teachable, but they were never really growing or changing. They were just agreeing with everything I said. And because they're agreeing with what I said and with no pushback, I was like, oh, they're so teachable, but they wouldn't, they were just agreeable. So I think that's one thing that, especially young people who may be fearful to kind of push back or like question if they're confused or challenged. We think they're teachable and they're really just being agreeable. What we're looking for is teachable and young leaders. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, teachability is a culture you create in your ministry or church or organization, and it's top down. And so, we have a lot of leaders listening to this podcast, and really ask yourself, are you teachable? Like, when was the last time you sat across from a mentor at a coffee or phone call, Zoom call, and just grilled them with questions and then actually applied it to your life? This is something I love about the Salt Network, Salt Company directors. They are some of the sharpest collegiate leaders I've been around. But every time I'm around them, like, I can't even walk through the room. Like, they're just like, hey, I wanted to ask you about this, this, and this. And they're just like, super teachable. And I've noticed this kind of across the board. You find a high level leader that's really producing a lot of fruit, they're almost always the most teachable person in any room they're in.
Amen.
I mean, I haven't got a text recently from, if I said the name, I'm not going to name drop the church, but it's one of the biggest churches in the United States. And he's texting me, hey, what are some good books on revival? I'm like, you know, I'm like, dude, I need to be asking you, like, you know, and so that's just, I think it's a key to, I think your capacity as a leader is one of the caps is your humility and your teachability. And so that's just like, I guess that's a bonus thought for everybody. And I need to continue to apply that to myself as well. So.
Yeah. Those are good reminders, I think, for everybody listening, though. I kind of want to shift gears a little bit to multiplication, because I think one of the unique things that y'all are doing at Salt is multiplying student leaders and then sending them out to help start churches and Salt companies. As we heard, you got 6, 7 coming up in the next 2 years, which is awesome. So yeah. How have you guys intentionally created this sending and multiplication culture?
Yeah. Well, first of all, it starts with us. And so I love that, Paul, just what you said, even with as a leader being someone who is teachable, it's like that we take that really seriously too. And so we want the vision that drips from our lives to drip into the students' lives. And so we want to be willing to go. And so we have what we call gospel goodbyes over here all of the time. And so when the person raises their hand and says, oh, I'm willing to go to the next place, to this next campus. And then we weep and rejoice over losing some of our best leaders. And so that's created a culture, just leaders who are willing to not just be comfortable with where they are, but be willing to be sent. And so one thing I love, I attend Cornerstone Church in Ames. And one of the things that the lead pastor always says is, I don't want to be a marginally better megachurch. And so they work really hard as a church to just say, we're willing to send our best. And I'm telling, if I went through the list of people and you knew them, you'd be like, they really do send their best. And so it starts with our staff and creating a culture that celebrates people leaving, even though I'm heartbroken after every year, another friend of mine leaves, but we celebrate together. So there's that piece of it. Staff starts, leads in that way. The second thing is, we have the Salt Company Conference. And so that's a really big piece. Lacey, you talked about that at the beginning, but it is a gathering of college students from across the country. All of our Salt Companies students attend that conference. It's a place where we teach the Bible, we worship together, but also we're challenged to be on mission together. And so we are serious when we say we want them to follow Jesus for 40 years. We also realize that in this stage of life, they're about to either, most people don't stay where they are. They get jobs and they go other places. And so we want to say, hey, rather than leveraging your life for a little bit more money in a better city or a decision to go here or there for some trivial reason, would you consider leveraging your life for the gospel and to see whatever God did in your life in college? Would you want to see that done in other college students' lives and other community members' lives? And so at the conference, we focus a lot on the mission. We say like, hey, we want you to follow Jesus, whether that's continue to be a part of the local church that you're in, to join one of the church plants. And so we celebrate, we talk about those church plants. We have opportunities for students to connect with them. And so Zach, who we talked about earlier, who's going to North Texas, he is from East Lansing, but he'll have students from Florida and from Iowa and Colorado be able to meet him and talk with him about the opportunity. And so it is such an important piece of our ministry that one, our students gather together and see, oh, there are thousands of college students across the country who are on mission for Jesus together. And we are not content with this room staying the size that it is, not because we care about how many students are in at conference, but because we genuinely care that there are lost, broken college students across the country and our hearts break for that. And so we want to be utilized for that. And so conference is a really big piece of just celebrating, getting students connected. And then the second thing is, I guess the third thing is we do annual reviews with our student leaders. And so when I kind of talked about that pipeline earlier, how do we take a student leader to be a healthy disciple of a church, we have a process where we sit down with all of our student leaders and every year say, like, where do you think God is leading you? Like, how can we help you to take your next step to follow Jesus? And so we have a box that they check, like, I'm considering, you know, staying here, or I want to go on a church plant, or I want to go overseas, or I'm moving to this city. Will you help me find a church? And so what we do is we just want to help them to shape their next step. And so that a job or a bigger paycheck is not the reason why they move to a new city, but they're intentionally following Jesus and being on mission for him after they graduate. And so I think there's lots of other, you know, things that our staff will do along the way. But I think those three things helps create just that environment of like, it is normal for our students to see church plants and to want to be a part of them because we've created, it's who we are. And when we say we're a family on mission, we mean that. We are a family on mission together for Jesus. And so, Yeah, it's been a fun thing. One of my just a fun quick thing is every year at conference, we'll announce like where we're going for the next 2 years. So the juniors and seniors who are graduating are like, okay, where am I going? Am I going to Mankato? Am I going to Las Vegas? Like, what am I going to do? And then we'll get freshmen and sophomores who we have not announced what churches or places we're going. And they're like, where are we going when I graduate? Wow. And I'm like, we don't know yet. And they're like, I want to know where we're going. And so already their freshman and sophomore year, because that culture has been created and because God has been so stinking good to us and we're so thankful, they're already excited about it. Their freshman and sophomore year. And they're like, we just want to know where we're going. So tell us where we're going, which is awesome.
Oh, Courtney, I love that. And I think that's it. Just the word you used is like, you have cultivated a culture for that. Like now there's an expectation, right? Like multiplication doesn't feel unique. It feels normal. It's an expectation. And that's the same thing we did, you know, when we planted C3 is as a church planter and lead pastor, we were constantly just starting new works, planting churches, multiplying, starting new ministries. And what I would always do in all of our services, I would stand before all of our people and I'd say, hey, here's where we're going. And this is what we'd say. We wouldn't even say pray about going. We would say this, assume you're going unless the Lord tells you to stay. Because ultimately the highest calling was to go. And so we would literally say, if God calls all of you to go, praise the Lord, we'll start a new work here. But assume you're going unless the Lord calls you to stay. And Courtney, every time we experience exactly what y'all experienced at Saul, it was like, who typically God calls to go and who stands up and says yes to that call are always going to be some of the best, right? It's going to be deacons and elders and small group leaders and givers. You know, the people that your flesh wants to stay is usually who goes. And a helpful book that maybe we can put in the show notes, Lacey, especially a helpful book in that time when you're multiplying and you're in a sense, it feels like you're losing friends and people who feel like family and people who've been in your small group, people you've been discipling or been discipling you. J.D. Greer's book, Gaining by Losing, was such a helpful resource in that. And it really taught the concept of the Lord's kingdom over our logo. It's the Lord over logo. It's his kingdom over our brand. And really, that's what we're to do is to build his kingdom. And so that was super helpful for me in that time, for sure.
Yeah, and students want to be part of a movement bigger than themselves. They want to connect. And so providing those vision casting moments. And I've been thinking about the listeners that maybe aren't part of a network like Salt Company. There is, I mean, we, our summer projects through Gen Send are a great way to connect with church planning that's being done on major cities across the nation. And summer mission trips are so key. Even if you don't do our, it sounds like a little bit like a commercial, but forgive me for that. But I feel like summer mission trips to strategic partner locations where a college ministry or youth ministry can send a mission trip to the same location year after year, that can produce a really strong pipeline. And not just thinking in North America, but let's think globally about these different unreached pockets of people. And I know that's something that Salt Company really values is that international component. They send hundreds of students, maybe thousands of students over the summer, every summer to these different partners. And so they have a smattering of Salt Company alumni all over the world that are doing international missions work as well. Anything you'd kind of add to that, Courtney?
Yeah. So we, this year we're sending 300 students, overseas on 8-week, summer trips. And so we love, this is another important piece of our pipeline that we do is that we want to train our students to be ready to go overseas. And so we teach them how to evangelize, how to adapt to new cultures, how to read the Bible with someone, how to share your faith. And so all the whole semester before, we're training them, investing in them, and then we're sending them out on 8-week summer trips. And we want to help the work of the missionaries who are already on the field. And so we want to provide for them. So we always go to places that are doing college ministry work because we know that, and that's what's comfortable for us. And so our students go onto these college campuses, meet with students, and just cast wide nets, start reading the Bible and sharing their faith with different students. And it's really been, our prayer is that it's a big blessing to the missionaries who are on the field. But the other piece of it is it shows that we value evangelism. We take that really seriously. We don't want to be people who just live in our own Christian bubbles, but also that we value that God is not just desiring that we be a part of his mission for America or for the state that we live in, the city we live in, but how can we be a part of that? And so what that does for a student over the summer trip is it just gets them intentionally. I mean, those students read their Bibles way more than they ever would because they're hot and they're tired and they're homesick. And they're just like, I just have my Bible. I don't have my TV or phone or whatever. And so they are challenged in their faith a ton, which is awesome. But they also get to see students who maybe don't know Jesus. And that just prepares them for a lifetime of like, how can I be someone who is part of the Great Commission and seeing that the gospel would go out to all people, not just people who look like me or who's comfortable, but that I would be challenged to share my faith in difficult environments. And it's been really a beautiful piece that I've had our students be a part of. And we're asking that the Lord would continue to raise up more students to go overseas every summer, but also that we would be such a blessing to the missionaries who are on the field.
Yeah. That's so cool. I feel like even as a student myself, my faith was just ignited in a new and fresh way when I started serving, whether it's on a mission trip or just even serving weekly on a basis. But yeah, those mission trips were huge for just, I think, exposing me to, oh, wow, there's a global church happening and it looks different in different parts of the world. And their faith, you know, some people are in really hard places and their faith has to be so strong. And it made me even reflect on my own faith. And there's so much to that I think is so good. And I love that that's part of what you guys do and part of the discipleship process. Mm-hmm. I'd love to just end with this. If a church or ministry maybe doesn't have a culture of students serving and leading and being sent out, but they want to move towards that, what are some things they can do? Maybe some little practical things, or I know obviously prayer is huge for something like this and starting a movement like this, but what are some other things they can do to move towards this?
Yeah, I have two things to share on this. First of all, get students serving. I often found that calling reveals itself in serving. So just getting students serving, and then students are like, yeah, you know, I love serving the Lord like this. I love serving the bride of Christ. I feel so fulfilled in this. I feel a purpose in this. So often calling reveals itself in serving. And so I would look, if you're the lead pastor of a church or you are the director of a ministry, or even if you're not the lead, ask yourself this, or ask your director this, or ask your pastor this. What in our church or what in our ministry is off limits for students to serve in? You know, whether they're a teenager or college students or young adults. Now, for liability reasons, there may be some certain things, right? You got to be 18 to do this, or you got to be 25 to do this. But I found is that list is pretty short, pretty right. small. So right. whatever that list is, everything else that's not on that list is open game for students to serve in. And good. So let's mobilize students to serve. And I love what Courtney said while I go of like serving the church as a whole, the ministry as a whole. So I think often we default, and I've said this before, we default to like student ministry or college and young adult ministry when we're saying, hey, get students serving. We kind of default to them serving that ministry. Yes and amen, but also serving the church as a whole. Like, how are students, and we're mobilizing students to serve the church as a whole, find out what's off limits. Whatever that is, that means everything else is on the table for students to serve. The second thing I would say is really what Courtney said a while ago of, I love when multiplication's taken place within SALT, they celebrate it. And it's an old leadership principle that's true. Celebrate what you want to replicate. Whatever you're celebrating the most is typically what you're going to replicate the most. And so if you want to see multiplication take place and students reach with the gospel and discipleship taking place and people living on mission, then celebrate that. So I would say find some students and leaders in your ministry that are doing it. If you go, hey, where do we start? Find some students and leaders that are already doing those things and then just celebrate them. Be creative how you're celebrating them. If you go, Shane, we're kind of starting new. We don't have any students yet doing that or any leaders yet doing that. Then find out what God's doing in other ministries and celebrate those. I just want to say this and give permission. It's okay to celebrate what God's doing in other ministries and other churches. All right. They're not our competition. They're our family. So I would just say, start celebrating the things you want to see replicated in your ministry.
Yeah, I love that. I also think I'd love to add, like, even though I mentioned a challenge to student leadership or student discipleship is that there's a low gospel fluency or maturity that exists, I would say, like, be willing to invest in low gospel fluent, immature leaders. And so, you know, you even think about Jesus and how he entrusted leadership to a ragtag group of guys, you know. Yep. Peter rebukes Jesus. Uh-huh. James and John are concerned if they're going to sit on the right or left. I mean, it's just like these guys, they're not even, they're walking with Jesus and they're just missing it sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so I think, like, we want to be people who are invest in the next generation. And, you know, the Old Testament talks about that so much, that we want to tell the next generations of God's good work and train them to follow Jesus. And so I would say, like, be willing to take risks on students and be surprised by what God can do with the seeds that you plant and the ways that that you water them, and trusting that the Holy Spirit is the one who's going to do the work. And so I would say, like, especially for if there's college students in your town, because, you know, that's what we love and we're passionate about. But just to see them as they are so reachable right now, they're all in one space. They want to be trained. They want to be shaped. That's why they're in college. And so they're there to learn and decide what is my next step. And I'm telling you, it, you know, I love when people inside of my community come to know Jesus in their 30s or 40s or 50s or 60s or 70s, whatever, that we celebrate all of that. But also to just realize that what God is doing in the 4 years of college is such a formative piece in your life, whether it, you know, for spiritual reasons or not for spiritual reasons. Mm-hmm. And so to see them as a place where you can invest in and not to be afraid of the challenges of Gen Z or the next generation, or are they going to say all the right things? Because they're not, and I'm not either. And so I think, like, having excitement to see using young people to reach lost people and to take those relationships seriously. So invest in people who do not have gospel fluency and are immature, and just say, God, would you do something? And to say, would you use me, follow me, as I follow Christ.
That's great. Yeah, I had one that was kind of a practical, strategic thing to consider is some ministries I've seen are a little top heavy with staff and adult volunteers, and their staff or adult volunteers aren't trained to think like equippers. They're trained to think like I need a disciple, and it kind of like smothers the momentum of the potential of student leaders to lead other students to Christ and personally disciple them. And so that it's almost like, in some ways, make sure you're not top heavy with it is possible to have too many of the wrong kind of adult volunteers or staff, even, because then the students are like, well, there's nothing for me to do. Like, I'm just here receiving like a baby penguin, you know, from the mom penguin, you know. I don't know, it's a weird image, but yeah, I think that's something to consider, is make sure the students are on the front lines of evangelism and disciple making, because that is going to be the growth edge. That's going to be, I've never seen a ministry that emphasized training students in evangelism, particularly evangelism, and they're not also over time developing strong leaders. Evangelism is kind of the thing that breaks through. And man, because it's spiritual warfare. Evangelism is spiritual warfare. When you start sharing the gospel with your peers, your prayer life increases, your dependence on the Lord, you start experiencing the Holy Spirit in a different way. And so I think training your student leaders in evangelism and creating expectations and goals and kind of working towards that together, that'll be a great kickstart to creating some high buy-in with your student leaders, because nothing motivates towards leadership and evangelism like people getting saved. Like, just, I mean, if you're a follower of Christ, like, seeing people saved is nothing, there's nothing better than that. And so nothing motivates fishing like fish on the stringer, you know. Like, if you have fish on the stringer, you're like, hey, the fishing's good, like, let's get out there. And so maybe that's just the evangelist in me, but, you know, that's got to be a top priority, you know?
And I love it, Paul. And I love that you picked an animal that's the opposite of where you live. You know, you're in Hawaii, so you picked a penguin, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, this conversation I know has been really, I know it's been really good for us. And Courtney, we always love getting to talk to you guys. And we love, I know we've said it this whole call, but we love what you guys are doing at Salt. And can't wait till there's a Salt company across every state at major, at every major university. Is there anything that you want to point people to? We can include it in the show notes, or if you just want to point people to go look at something or whatever it is.
Yeah. If you are interested in joining a church plant, even if you're not a part of a Salt company, or if you, you know, would love to move to a particular city to reach college students and you want to be a part of a church who focuses on that, you can visit our website at thesaltnetwork.com. That will give a list of all of the locations and the places that we're going next. And so we'd love for you to get more information about that. You can follow us on social media, either the Salt Network or the Salt Company National. You'll get all the information about vision trips that we're taking to new cities, events that are happening. You'll just be able to stay kind of in the know of what's happening through our social media. And so I would send you to those two places, and we'd love to help you get connected if you'd love to be a part of church planting and reaching college students.
I love it. And I'm going to add one more thing, because I've been doing this since conference, is if you want to join them in praying at 10:02, you can set your alarms and pray for more laborers to go out into the harvest. And I don't know if you want to share a little bit about that initiative that you guys have.
Yeah, we sometimes people will ask us, like, how the heck did this happen out of a cornfield in Iowa? So this all kind of originated in central Iowa. And I don't know, you know, I've been in Iowa my whole life, so I have a pretty positive perspective about Iowans. But when people hear this all started in Iowa, it's like, what's going on in Iowa? It's like, I don't know, people who are a faithful God, that's what's going on in Iowa. So, but we started praying kind of out of Luke 10:2 that says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And so ask the Lord of the harvest to raise them up. And so we set our alarms at 10:02. I have it at AM because hopefully I'm asleep at 10:02 PM. But we just ask God, would you raise up more laborers? And so we genuinely believe, like, oh, you know, all that our pipeline and our training and all those things that we take really seriously. It's like, yeah, we're proud of what God has given us to steward, but we also realize, like, it's been the, like, God has answered the prayers of believing people. It's like God's power has moved, His Holy Spirit has moved. And we feel so thankful that He has invited us into that mission. And so what better way to say, like, God, we have all these things that, you know, discipleship groups and students leading small groups on campuses, like, we have all these things. Would you do something with it? Send the Spirit. And so we don't ever want to let our ministry, our programs, our plans, or our strategies ever get ahead of our prayer and desperation for God to be the one that makes it, things grow. Yeah. So yeah, please join us. Great. Thanks, Lacey, for bringing that up. We'd love to have more and more people pray, not just for Salt Network churches, but for the global church.
Yeah, great. I think that is the perfect note to end on. Courtney, this has been amazing. We will include all of those things she's mentioned in the show notes, as well as that book that Shane mentioned. So make sure you guys check that out. And we can't wait to see you for future episodes. Thank you guys so much.